Today's episode is brought to you by Incubita and Quo.
This is Marketing Over Coffee with Christopher Penn and John Wall.
Good morning. Welcome to Marketing Over Coffee. I'm John Wall. Today, Katie Robert is back with us. How is everything going?
It's good. It's a busy day.
I know. It's funny. As a regular, I feel like I don't have to give the intro, but we still have to go through this. You are the CEO and co-founder of Trust Insights. Yeah. And this is good. This wasn't on the list, but it is something we can talk about, that you actually keep Christopher Penn in line. You know, we are always talking about his insane activities. And I'm sure there's people that are like, oh my God, how does he get managed? How does that work?
So it's me.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us today.
You know, it's funny, Chris and I, every once a week, we sit down and just go through everything. And I'm fortunate that I have the professional relationship that I have with him, that, you know, we can just be very blunt with each other. And because he trusts and respects me in my judgment, I can say whether or not the stuff that he's working on is a benefit to the company or not. And that really helps sort of shape. So like, we've actually sort of segmented into Chris's playground and then stuff for the company. And so that's actually worked really well. So if anyone out there is listening, has an innovator on their team who's like really just went into the experiment and you're like, but I really just need you to get stuff done. Pro tip is make sure you're carving out that R&D time for them to just have their sandbox and play, but then also that you give them very focused tasks to do once when they are focused on the company. Don't leave it up to them. And that honestly has been one of the biggest ways that he and I have been successful working together, because he knows what my expectations are. And then what he does during his R&D time is not really my business.
Right, right. He's allowed to run with scissors and get things going. I have a book called The Art of Fighting that's in the queue. So I have to get through this. It's supposed to be pretty good, but you know, I'm not going to spend any more time on it until after I've read it and we know it's worth chatting about. But that's coming up for a September release. So that's on the go list. We had a bunch of stuff. I've been blabbing on the show the past few weeks about how I feel like we've reached an inflection point with Claude Cowork, and that it's just really delivering some amazing work. I mean, we always had stuff, you know, that Chris could prime with a bunch of MD files and, you know, kind of go write these amazing prompts. But we've been doing a bunch of stuff where we've just seen value, you know, from what we've built with Claude Cowork. And so that's why I wanted to get you on, just to talk about it. I mean, if you want, even back up a little bit and, you know, talk about how, you know, what made you start to dig into this and, you know, what's different this time around.
So I got pretty good at, you know, working within the different chat functionalities. So you have OpenAI's ChatGPT, you have Google's Gemini, you have Anthropic's Claude. And the chat functionality for each of those is pretty good at brainstorming and ideation, but not so much the execution, because it doesn't have any sort of autonomous AI built in. And we decided as a company to look into the Claude Desktop version, which does have autonomous AI built in. So Claude Desktop has three different core functionalities. It has the chat, which syncs with your chat in the web browser. It has Cowork that is a standalone. And then it has Code, which syncs with your code versions, both on the web and terminal, and then in this desktop version. Cowork is sort of an anomaly. It's interesting because it literally is its own isolated thing. So what I'm doing in Cowork, you're not going to see. Chris isn't going to see. Kelsey isn't going to see. What I'm doing in chat and code, they are going to see. So Cowork is interesting, but it's a really good place for people to start if they want to learn a little bit more about agentic AI. So one of the nice benefits, one of the reasons we selected Claude Desktop to go with, is because it had really great connectors. So connectors to third-party tools, like your CRM systems, like your email systems, your web analytics systems, your SEO systems, other vendors. So there's a lot of technology vendors that have connectors that you can say, I have an account with this tech vendor, Claude Desktop, you connect with it. So now I can extract data from this tech vendor. One of the examples I gave on a talk I gave recently was how I was lamenting to, you know, you and the rest of the Trust Insights team that I can never get good quality data out of our CRM because we're limited financially of what level of service we can afford, which included more advanced reporting. But now with Claude Desktop, it has a connector to that CRM, and using Claude Cowork, I can instruct it to go fetch any kind of data that I'm after because it has access to all of it. I don't need that reporting system that I can't afford inside the CRM that would probably still be limited. So I can now create my own reports. And that was just sort of the beginning. I really tried to figure out like, what is it that I can do? I want to build web pages. Well, what are the, you know, what is the, you know, hosting system that I have? Well, we have WordPress through WP Engine. So how is our website structured? Really exploring, you know, can you, Claude Cowork, explore the website for me? I don't have to do it, using the Chrome extension, and tell me what you're finding. You can, it can read the metadata. It can read the invisible data on websites that are publicly available, not gated, unless you have a login. And it can extract all of that information for you. I, as the human, no longer have to struggle and do it. So what I started doing was just going nuts and extracting data from all these different places. And I was like, oh, this is really cool. Let me like build an analysis out of this and let me figure out how to do something. The real unlock for me was when I was able to pull all of our web analytics data, pull, you know, our sales playbook, pull our knowledge blocks and our ICPs and all of those things together in a project, which is what large language models are really good at doing, is like summarizing all of these different data points together, finding the patterns, but then also using it to build an HTML template that is responsive and ready to just copy and paste into our website. So once I figured out how all of those pieces fit together, within a matter of minutes, I could overhaul an entire services pages or an instant insights page. And I had an HTML ready, like copy paste ready template to just go into WordPress, paste it in. It was all polished. It was branded. It was structured. It had all the different pieces in it. And like that became such a huge unlock for me of like, what else can I do? Can I do this? When I started really exploring the autonomous features in Cowork, not only could it build the HTML pages, it could also build the website itself for me. So one of the projects that I ran, one of the experiments that I ran, because again, I checked that we had backups on our website so that if I really blew anything up, we could just roll it back. So that was probably step number one. Step number two was saying, okay, so we've built the plan. We have all the HTML. Can you, Claude Cowork, autonomously insert it into the website for me so I don't have to do it, so you can copy paste everything? Oh, and by the way, here's our whole technical SEO plan of things we want to fix up. While you're in there, can you do that as well? And of course, Claude Cowork was like, yeah, absolutely. I'll get right on it. And so I ended up scheduling that as four separate, I broke it down into smaller pieces, but four separate projects that ran over the course of a weekend. And when I showed back up on Monday, it was all done. I didn't have to spend my time copying and pasting meta descriptions, keywords, you know, getting all that stuff, getting the HTML in there. It did it for me. The reason it worked, and if you know anything about me, you know that I love planning and process, is that I used our Trust Insights 5P framework by Trust Insights to get all of those requirements really carefully detailed out before giving it to the large language model. But once that was done, it was essentially like delegating it to another person saying, this is the exact plan. If you just follow this plan with these outcomes that are expected, you can do the thing. I don't need to babysit you. And that's what I did. And so being able to do that has saved all of us collectively so much time, because I'm not asking more of the team. I'm able to just do the thing and then hand off the final product. So one of the things that I was able to hand off to you was like, hey, here's all of our cold prospects that need re-engagement, or here's some potential, you know, sponsorship opportunities that we should explore. But like, you didn't have to dig through the data. I could just hand that to you ready to go, and you could just execute against it, which is something that I think that we as a very small company have been lacking. We don't lack for really good ideas. We lack for resources.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a bunch of levels of stuff we have to dig into this, you know, between site hosting and content, and CRM stuff is another thing. And yeah, we want to dive deeper. I just have to take a second. We want to thank Incubita for their support of Marketing Over Coffee. If you're a regular listener, you know the old way of marketing with creative media and data stuck in silos just doesn't work anymore. Incubita is a global marketing and AI outcomes agency and a premier global Google partner. They help brands outperform marketing, delivering an average of 35% revenue growth in just the first year. What does that look like? It's about turning ambition into action. instead of disconnected efforts, Incubeta uses their seamless technology to bridge the gap between short-term wins and long-term profitable growth. They simplify the complexity of the modern stack so you can optimize, scale, and future-proof your funnel. They have the global footprint to back it up too, with 18 offices and 20 years of experience. Incubeta is trusted by global leaders like L'Oreal, Harrods, ING, and Les Mills. These brands trust them to transform marketing complexity into total clarity through transformative strategies and award-winning execution. In practice, this means using AI to connect your creative strategy directly to business outcomes. You'll rebalance your investment to unlock untapped growth and use intelligent automation to make your bidding and messaging more cost-effective. Stop doing marketing and start to outperform with Incubeta. Visit Incubeta.com to see their proof of performance and discover the future of AI-powered growth. That's Incubeta.com, Incubeta.com. You can also check out their white paper, The Marketer's Confidence Paradox. Got a link to that in the show notes. Check it out, and we thank them for their support of the show. Yeah, it's really something. The CRM thing was just a huge unlock, right? It's a, because we're on a system that is just like totally coin operated. It's like, oh, if you want more reports, add more money. If you want access, oh, the marketing data, that's more money. And so having Claude act as an agent and just go grab that stuff is huge. Like you said, being able to format for WP Engine, you know, basically WordPress, you're able to just cut and paste and have all that stuff go. And I think one thing that we can't miss with that is you've got the content that it's doing for you, but it also meets the style guide and the CSS is all straight. I mean, it's just amazing. You're getting pages that are formatted differently than the standard template to meet your needs. You know, if it's got a table that it needs or a call out or some kind of additional stuff, it just does that. All kinds of stuff that would normally be a headache, you'd have to go ping the graphic designer to say, hey, you know, clean this up, tighten this up, neaten it up for me. And it just does all of that stuff, you know, right out of the box. Another one that I wanted to say was Scopes. We're using that too. And that's just another thing where in the past we've had scope templates that have sort of worked, but now being able to run, take the transcript from a call and run that against the scope generator and have it spit out a scope that's mostly ready to go. Now it's human in the loop. We go through and I have to, you know, get the rough edges off of it. But for the most part, it's done. It's become something that's just, again, shaved hours and hours out of the whole flow. How about other stuff? I know slide decks too is another one too. You've been using that for presentations and stuff. How's that been going?
Oh, that was huge. That was, I mean, I was so excited when I figured that piece out, because that was one of the reasons why we decided to more heavily invest in Claude, was because I had been going through each of the different large language models, the major ones, to try to figure out, can I build a slide deck? Can I build a slide deck? How does it build slides? And it was not something that any of the large language models at the time was really great at. But then when I tried it with Claude Cowork, it pretty much nailed it on the first try. And I was just elated. I was beside myself because I saw the potential and I was like, okay, what if I want to do this slide deck over and over and over again? And Claude Cowork was like, oh, so you want to build a skill? And I was like, yes, yes, I do. Because we have our brand guidelines. We have our colors, our tone, our text, our, you know, fonts. We have all of that stuff. And we had a couple of PowerPoint template decks, but they were pretty limited. Like it's not that they were hard to work with, but building a PowerPoint deck, at least for me, it takes longer than it should, because I'm sort of, should I put this here? What about the formatting? What about this? And when I realized that I could take the template that we had pre-existing with all of the different slide types, and I could take the brand guidelines and I could take examples of decks that I liked, but also most importantly, decks that I didn't like, so I could say, don't do this, like do this, don't do this. I gave all of that information to Claude Cowork. I said, can you help me build a skill that I can share with the rest of the team so that anytime we give you an outline, you can build a slide deck and we can all have consistency across the board? And Claude Cowork is like, yeah, I can absolutely do that. I have a skill builder. Let's go ahead and do it. So that probably at the beginning probably took me about half a day to build the skill, to get it right, to iterate, to make sure the colors and all the formatting was correct. But once it was built, I was able to share it with the rest of the team. And now I don't have to be nervous about the amount of clip art or the amount of random formatted slides that makes it look like Chris and I do different things for different companies. Now we have a lot more consistency with the brand. And so he can still modify it. He can still put in the things that he likes to put in slide decks, but the overall foundation of our slides are now consistent, which is something that I had been striving for. And he and I can just basically open up Claude Cowork or Claude Code and say, here's my outline, build me a slide deck. And that was actually one of the demos that I did for the AI Academy by SmarterX, their Gen AI app series courses I built for them was skills for PowerPoint decks and showing people how to do that, all the things you needed to have in there. And it was only a 20-minute course. And during the course of the 20 minutes, while I was sort of teaching, instructing, I had it building a PowerPoint deck from scratch. And by the time I was done talking at about like the 17-minute mark, I had a deck that was ready to show with minimal prompting that was actually pretty good. So in the course, I said, I would give this probably an A-, because if I had to just immediately hit the ground running and use this, I would be very confident with the look and feel and the information in the deck.
Yeah, it's that thing where it is delivering stuff that is just so much closer. The previous rounds, it was like half usable or whatever. And this is where we want to go. We should also clearly state we're on the paid version. We're doing it's like $200 a month. We have to watch tokens and keep track of things. I know I'm always running Opus, but you need to play around a little bit and pick the model that you want to use. It's a trade-off of how hard will the thing think and will it include the quality versus how many tokens you're burning. You don't want to lose all your tokens on the first day of the week and then not be able to use it for the rest of the week. Okay, it's just all use cases all the time today. We've got a bunch of other ways we're using it. We just have to take a second. We want to thank Quo for their support of Marketing Over Coffee. Spring is a natural reset point, and if you've been putting off cleaning up the messier parts of your business, now's the time. Streamlining your communications is one of the quickest and easiest upgrades you can make. That's why today's episode is brought to you by Quo, spelled Q-U-O, the smarter way to run your business communications. Quo is the number one rated business phone system on G2 with over 3,000 reviews, built for how modern teams work. That's why more than 90,000 businesses, from solo operators to growing teams, rely on Quo to stay connected and consistently reachable. It works wherever you are, right from an app on your phone or computer, and lets you keep your existing number, add new numbers or teammates in minutes, sync your CRM, and rely on seamless routing and call flows as your business scales. Quo isn't just a phone system, it's a smart system. Quo's AI automatically logs calls, generates summaries, and highlights next steps so nothing gets lost. It can even qualify leads or respond after hours, ensuring your business stays responsive even when you're finally offline. Make this the season where no opportunity and no customer slips away. Try Quo for free, plus get 20% off your first 6 months when you go to quo.com/MOC. That's quo.com/MOC. Quo, no missed calls, no missed customers. Yes, get modern. If you haven't made the jump to this kind of system, you've got to do it. You can just manage who's manning the phones. Nobody gets lost. Access via the app on your phone. You definitely want to hop on board with this. Check it out. Again, quo.com/MOC, and we thank them for their support of the show. Okay, I had a couple other use cases too that are random stuff that I played around with. There is a Spotify connector. I've set up a skill where it watches artists that I follow. When they play a concert, it will go grab the set list and build the playlist for me automatically over in Spotify. So I can keep track of artists as far as what they're releasing, what songs they're playing, doing interesting stuff. And another one is for stuff going into Premiere. It's not connected directly to Premiere. It won't actually work on a project, but like things like credits, transcripts too, checking transcripts, that because Premiere is not that great at transcripts or captions, as they're actually going to be, having all that stuff get cleaned up and just cut it, paste it back is saved hours and hours of work. And everybody, you know, you love editing the video, but like you don't want to be spending 3 hours working on the end credits. Like that's just completely drive you to drink work that you want nothing to do with. So yeah, that's the use case stuff. I don't know, any other use case on that? We've got other stuff to kick around, but anything else with Cowork?
Because I'm a data nerd, I keep a tracker of all the different projects that I've been working on. So let me actually just pull it up in the background, because I have a lot of use cases. So I've built out concepts for talks. I've built my own personal website just to sort of, I did that not in the sense that I needed a personal website, but really just to test what I could do with agentic AI. But it not only built the website, it built all the content, but it also built a style guide, which I didn't have for my own personal brand. So I said, I need a style guide before we build a website so you can use that for like fonts and colors. So I was like, great, what do you like? And we just went through a series. It was like, give me some examples of things you like, things you don't like. And we went from there. So building a style guide, building a sales playbook, building other kinds of enablement tools. And so when we talk about enablement, it's really how to get started with something. So it could be sales enablement. It could be training enablement. I've overhauled our UTM governance training presentation and corresponding Excel spreadsheets. I've built a lot of Excel spreadsheets that I use. The other thing that I really like about Coworker, Cloud Desktop in general, is that you can schedule tasks. And so I've built a lot of trackers that now run on a weekly cadence in the background. So I have them all staggered to run off peak hours. So it's not eating up usage during, you know, the business hours, but like it'll run at like Saturday at midnight or Sunday at 9 a.m. or something like that. But when I show up on Monday morning, tracker's updated. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to, you know, annoy the team with, here's what we're doing this week. Here's what I learned over the weekend. Here's what the data's showing. I actually built a skill to take the work that we do, like an old scope of work or the client deliverables, and turn it into a case study that's ready to put up on the website. So that was really helpful. I was able to scale the case studies pretty quickly. I mean, let me know if you want me to keep going. There's no shortage of things that we could be talking about. I've done SEO planning, content strategy, UTMs. I've helped build technical instructions and do deep research for a nonprofit that we work with, Bay Path Humane Society in Hopkinton, because they were looking to understand what they could do with some of their technology. Did they need to upgrade the technology, or was there a way to work with it in order to make it work better for them between different systems? And so not being familiar with the technology, but knowing how to use these large language models, I could do the deep research, but also come up with a set of technical requirements for executing against what it was they were asking to do based on a voice memo that I had the executive director send to me, basically outlining what it was that she wanted to do.
That's cool. Okay, but we do have to up-level, because you've also been doing, we've had more and more projects coming over as far as, you know, it used to just be train me on AI, train me to write prompts. But now we're getting more stuff of companies coming in saying, okay, we've been at this now for a couple months. And, you know, the AI focus group, everybody doesn't want the extra work and they've all quit. And, you know, we've had three or four pilots crash and burn. So there's so much going on with that as far as how this stuff actually works, and applying change management really is the thing, and organizational behavior stuff that you've done.
Yeah.
So just give us an update on that. Like, what's going on with all those types of things?
Yeah. So, you know, what we're finding and what I'm hearing, and I actually put this in the newsletter, the Trust Insights newsletter recently, is that people are hiding behind pilots because they don't want to commit to things, because committing to something means money, budget, visibility. And so what we're actually seeing, you know, and whether they admit it or not, and so a lot of people are doing pilots correctly, but maybe they're not the ones who have commitment phobia. Maybe it's the executives who have commitment phobia who are like, okay, this was great, but now you actually want me to commit to this? Like, we actually have to do this now as like a daily practice. So we're seeing a lot of that. And so it's helping clients get out of pilot purgatory and figure out, let's pick one thing that went really, really well and start to roll that out. Because there's no, I mean, just we've just been talking about all the different use cases. There's no shortage of things that you could be doing. And we all see the potential. We see the possibility. And that in and of itself is a block. Because we kind of get that analysis paralysis of, but I could do this, and I could do this, and I could do this, and I could do this. How do I prioritize? And then how do I do that in a way that doesn't burden my team because I'm asking them to do new things? And so that's a lot of what we're helping clients with is, okay, you've done all the pilots, you've done all the proving out of what could work. Now let's help you focus in by tying one or two initiatives to your business goals, to the skill sets on your team, to the places where there's big opportunities. And that's the kind of work that we can objectively do as an outside party, because it's not that these companies aren't smart, they aren't capable, they're just too close to it.
Yeah, yeah. Having outside validation and outside lightning rod. We always see that, you know, to, for people to be able to say horrible things to us and complain, you know, that has a lot of value, because, yeah, a lot of times you don't get that out of just normal org behavior. That's, it's just not going to work. People aren't afraid to step up and take a chance and talk the truth. You know, talk truth to power is always a thing.
I think you were saying the other day that people are looking to hire Dr. Katie.
Data therapy is a thing and AI therapy is a thing. You know, you can, it is. There's so much going on. It's just a period of rapid change and people need to be able to talk through things. Mm-hmm. And yeah, having a voice that's not also writing your annual review is a big deal, depending on how that's going and where it's going. I'm going to be at Connection Chicago, the Salesforce event. So if you're going to be at that, be sure to ping me over on LinkedIn or on one of the socials. Looking forward to see what they've got for Agentic. I've got Salesforce Headless 360 that I'm looking at. This idea that you would subscribe to Salesforce just for your agents to be able to do things, you know, actually not even using the UI is pretty interesting. But more interesting is, you know, what has been going on as far as entertainment. I am on book 7 of Dungeon Crawler Carl for any of the fans that are following that thing. And then I wanted to throw out that I'm still going through a bunch of old movies that I've from updating the collection. Pretty Woman actually surprisingly holds up. There's some 80s stuff in there that's a little sketchy, but it is not not straight to the trash bin. It's still worth watching. And I think a big one with that is it's a Gary Marshall film. And so, you know, he knows what the hell he's doing. And so he delivers. Katie, how about for you? What have you been watching or reading? Have you got anything that's worth talking about?
So I was so excited. I found on Peacock, they carry the movie The Commitments, which is a movie from, I think, 1991. To me, that is like hands down. If you said one movie for the rest of your life, that would be it. It holds up. I was watching it. I was texting my husband while it was on. I was texting him the quotes and he was like, are you watching The Commitments again? I'm like, yes. And I can't repeat the quotes on a family-friendly show, but oh, it's so good. And the music is classic because it covers things like Wilson Pickett. It covers things like Aretha Franklin. And that kind of music is just timeless. But the way that the story is told, it's actually based on a novel by the author Roddy Doyle. And it is just such a good movie. So if you want to read it, if you want to watch it, I highly recommend it. A book that I just finished reading that I was kind of confused by because I didn't sort of see the twist coming. I don't want to give too much away in case people are interested. It's called Red Rabbit Ghost. Definitely interesting. It reminded me a little bit of the concept behind like The Haunting of Hill House. That was that horror series on Netflix a few years back. And so if you're familiar with that, then if you decide to read this book, you'll be like, oh, those, like, there's some similarities in terms of the twists and turns. It was interesting. I was definitely not, I hate when I read a book and I'm like, I already know what's going to happen after the first chapter. This was not one of those books, which was a nice surprise. I started rereading because it's just such a good, it's heartbreaking, but it's such a good book, is Demon Copperhead, which is the modern take on David Copperfield, set in Appalachia. It came out a few years ago. You know, I read it and Hanley read it. We both were comparing notes. We were both like really depressed by it, but also really sad when the book was over because it was so good. And so if you're familiar with the story of David Copperfield, this is a modern retelling of it. In terms of stuff I'm watching, not really a whole lot. I'm trying to get outside a little bit more, but when I'm driving around, I can listen to an audiobook a little bit easier, or I can sit on my deck and read a regular book.
Sounds good. Yeah, I forgot. I watched the Hulk Hogan 4-part series too, which is, you know, a wonderful train wreck. We shared notes on, you know, Netflix series that just do disaster. And the fun part, if you want, you can just go watch part 4 of Hulk Hogan and catch just the train wreck at the end. You can do that.
I don't know how I forgot this because I totally went down a rabbit hole of train wrecks. There's a new documentary on Netflix, which apparently is not new, but is new to Netflix, called The Crash. And so I guess other streaming services have other versions of this story, but the documentary basically covers this young woman who at top speed crashed her car with her boyfriend and his friend into a brick wall. She survived, they didn't. And so the whole story is about whether or not it was premeditated or accidental. And so, you know, you can go down the rabbit hole. It's all over social media in terms of like, did she do it? Did she not? It is a journey. So I've now watched 2 of, I think there's 4 documentaries in total. I have other ones that I'll watch this weekend, but there's a documentary series, I think they carry on HBO, maybe Hulu, called Mean Girl Murders. And she has an episode in that series. And then Netflix is called The Crash. And so putting them side by side, you're like, how did Netflix, you know, basically skip over all of the important details that the Mean Girl Murders docuseries actually captured? It's the whole thing is fascinating because then you also get a glimpse of what her life is like now being in prison. She basically got, you know, 30 years to life. She's not getting out. And it is so fascinating to see her. I don't want to give too much away if you haven't watched it, but if you have watched it, reach out to me. I want to talk about it. I want to talk about it all day long. Rabbit holes like no other.
Like everywhere. Well, and that's really cool that there's multiple. So you're getting multiple takes on it because then you can pit them against each other too and be like, well, why didn't they do this or that or the other?
Which is interesting because they're interviewing all the same people. It's just a matter of the documentary creator deciding how to present the story.
Yeah, totally. They have hours and hours of stuff and they got to cut it down. And so what, you know, what's worth keeping and not? That's a whole.
Yeah.
Like you said, that's back to the rabbit hole.
I can't believe I almost forgot about that. That is.
Yeah, that's high on the list. All right. We've got, you can sign up for the Marketing Over Coffee text line, 617-812-5494, or swing on over to Analytics for Marketers. Come, you can talk to all of us. We're always over there. Katie's spinning the question of the day, which, you know, sometimes incites riot, sometimes not, but it's worth checking out. Yeah, and that's going to do it for this week. So Katie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. That'll do it for this week. Till next week. Enjoy the coffee.
You've been listening to Marketing Over Coffee. Christopher Penn blogs at ChristopherSPenn.com. Read more from John J. Wall at JW5150.com. The Marketing Over Coffee theme song is called Mellow G by Funk Masters, and you can find it at Musical.ly from Mevio or follow the link in our show notes.